Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Share. We are really sort of Erev Chanukah, and it's so interesting. We're going to be continuing what we started last week, but it's extremely interesting because always I prepare, I always re-prepare, and I realized when I was re-preparing for tonight's Shir that it's really related to Chanukah, and it is not on purpose, and you will see as we go through the article we began last week about the anchor, how relevant it is to Inyanei Diyoma. So, of course, we are learning Lilui Nishmas and Lezeichu Nishmas and Miriam Frond, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom. May her neshama have a continuous aliyah in the schos of the Torah that we will share tonight. And of course, we thank the Frun family very much for their continued dedication and sponsorship of this weekly Shir L'Zecher Nishmas, their mother. So we're going to where we started last week. And we were talking about this idea of being in a storm and what anchors you in a time of a storm. We have in-person people who are not usually in person. So nice. Okay, very nice. Welcome. So I remember that I quoted the ad from Rofei Cholim, just to follow up. Last week I said that there was an ad in the paper with four things you should never say to a person going through a crisis. So I didn't tear it out to bring it to you last week, but I wanted to say it to you the way it was quoted because it was very well done. So I actually went home and I cut it out of last week's Jewish home. So I'm just going to tell it to you. It relates to our Shir of last week. Okay, this is from Dr. David Lieberman. This was actually an ad in the paper for Rofei Cholim Cancer Society. Okay, tip number one for a person going through a difficult time. Tip number one, don't offer a pep talk or a motivational speech. Whoops, sorry. Tip number two, don't begin with "you think you've got problems" or "yikes, that stinks" or "gamzu l'tov, it's all for the best." I still remember, I'm telling you. You know, the painful comments people say, they stay with you forever. I still remember, I'm sure you all have your own, but since I'm the one talking, still remember after my son's first cochlear implant surgery, and he's turning 16, Kanainaha, in 2 months, and someone said to me that she knows how I feel because her child had a lot of middle ear infections, so she needed that surgery. Put in tubes in the eardrum.
It's nothing.
I still remember. My son's turning 16. And I still remember. I still remember. Don't begin with, not just that I still remember, it's still, I know it's Gamzu L'Tova. I know it's from Hashem. I know that's what he wanted. It still causes me pain. How could you tell me because your child has multiple ear infections? It still upsets me, and I know Hashem wanted me to hear it. I know Hashem wanted her to say it. So that's really what this article was saying, that what's your anchor? Because in a time of crisis, you need something to ground you and hold you down, not saying it's all for the best. That's not going to get us through the difficult time. Tip number one, don't offer a pep talk or motivational speech. Tip number two, don't begin with "you think you've got problems, yikes, that stinks," or "gamzu l'tova, it's all for the best." Tip number three, don't say "everything will be fine." How do you know everything's going to be fine? Why should you tell that to the person? Don't say "you worry too much" when someone's going through a crisis. And tip, no, this was Mamish, the Rofei Cholim Cancer Society. It was a 2-page ad in the Jewish home. Wow. And it really struck me when I read them. And tip number four, don't tell them about the importance of perspective or offer a surefire procedure or segula to help them out of their problems. So I think it relates to what we were discussing last week. Yes?
Someone is going through a terrible crisis. Really
say it again.
Someone I know is going through a terrible crisis, and I wait. What do you tell this person? All I said was, you know what? I'm davening for you, that you should have clarity, and that everything should turn out the best that it could turn out. It's terrible. I feel for you. You know,
that's really the only thing you can and should say.
I can make it better. I wish I could, and no matter what I say.
Someone reached out to me last week on WhatsApp to tell me in regard to this topic that someone was going through a very difficult personal time and fell into a difficult state emotionally. So this person said to them, you know, look at this one, they have it worse. Look at this one, they have it worse. So the person said, why does it help me that somebody else has it worse? So let's keep going. So this is Rabbi Reuven Leuchter. If you missed last week, the previous week is always available on YU Torah. The Torah is anchor. So I'm not going to go into everything I said last time because I want to continue with the new material, but I just want to remind us all where we are holding. Okay, he begins by saying, I'm giving a synopsis. Many years ago, his friend's wife passed away, left five young children. During the Shiva, he was very happy that Rabbi Leuchter came because he said, I was the first to acknowledge that something really terrible had happened. Everyone else tried to alleviate his grief by reminding him that everything Hashem does is for the best. And therefore, even the greatest tragedy is really part of Hashem's plan. Everything they said was true. But this does not offer nechama to a person who is going through a terrible time. Why? Because life is like a voyage across the sea. Usually sailing is smooth. Sometimes it's choppy. But once in a while, there's a storm. And at some point, most people experience a major crisis when it seems impossible to go on. So what is your anchor so your ship does not get totally overrun, overboard, and swept out to sea in the time of that major crisis? Amunah is Hashem, is everything he does is for the good. And that is vital to our lives as Jews. But it's a weak anchor because it's up here. And the emotion of our heart is telling us something else. And therefore, it won't save you from a raging storm. The storm will always be stronger, okay? We can't understand Hashem's plan. One day Hashem will open our eyes and everything will make sense. We believe that what happened was for the best. But the amuna that everything is for the best does not relate to the experience you might be going through right now, okay? Shiva houses are full of well-meaning visitors who tell the mourner sudden tragedies are korban to save Klal Yisrael, or the deceased received tremendous zichuyos from all the people who did teshuva. That's not an anchor. That dismisses the pain. It doesn't help the person in the middle of the situation to sugarcoat what they are going through. Okay, and remember Rav Wolbe, the Ali Shur, Sir Rosh Hashiva, the whole Shiva kept telling people it's for the best, and Rav Wolbe said it won't last, because after the Ma'aseh Tzedek it didn't last. He tried to use his emunah to bypass the pain. And in Yahados, we're human beings. Hashem wants us to access that pain and validate that pain and feel the pain. So it's not a contradiction to say that this is from Hashem and it's extremely painful. And I always relate to Yosef HaTzadik, as an example of that. Yosef spent a lot of time crying. I think he really, certainly in Sefer Bereishis, he cries more than any of the other biblical personalities. The brothers come down, he cries. Binyamin comes down, he cries. Father comes down, he cries. He goes to the side room, he washes his face, he cries. Yeah, Shem Shemayim Shagru Befiv, this week's parsha. So he's always talking about Be'ezra Hashem and Mirtz Hashem, the Hashem's help. But nevertheless, crying expresses a deep emotion within a person. A person going through a storm needs an anchor. Not to try to convince himself that the storm does not exist. So you could say the storm exists, and you could also say, like this book is reminding us through the years, everything's from Hashem. They're both. It's true. It is from Hashem. There is a plan, but there is a storm right now. And it doesn't help to say there is no crisis. To invalidate the pain is incorrect, which is why Dr. David Lieberman says, don't say pep talks or motivational speeches. Don't say everything will be fine. How do you know everything will be fine? Are you God? You don't know what it's going to be. Don't tell them, Gamzu Latova, it's all for the best. And like you said, I like what you said. All I can do right now is daven for you. I'm thinking of you and I offer you my tefillos. And perhaps that's the best. It's not trying in any way to sugarcoat the pain. It's saying, I'm with you and the only thing I can offer you is my prayers. A person once came to Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Levracha, the Rosh Hashiva Vishivas Yermir Yerushalayim. And he would always see petitioners, tremendous gadol gaon olam, and she was going through a very difficult time. And he said to her, I'm so weak. He was so sick from his Parkinson's. He says, I can't do anything except cry for you. It's brought down the art school biography. He said, so you could sit and say your tilam and I will sit here and cry. Sometimes that's all we could really do. Okay. So going back to new material. Okay. We need an anchor that deals with our experience rather than denying it. Remember last week we went through the Rashbam. The Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, says that who did Hashem send to fight with Yaakov? He sent a malach to ensure Yaakov would not run away from his problems. Instead of running away, Yaakov was forced to confront the issues at hand. We need an anchor that deals with our experience rather than denying it. And this is new information. If we look deeply in the Torah, we will find lessons of emunah that can help a sailor survive even the strongest storm. Of course, maybe Yonah comes to your mind, Yonah comes to my mind, you're talking about the metaphor of being on a ship when there is a tremendous storm. If we look deeply in the Torah, we find lessons of emunah that will help us survive even the strongest storm. I remember someone was here last week. Is she here? I think someone new. I don't see her name. Okay. We find the first lesson at the burning bush, which is in Perek Yom of Sefer Shemos at the snack. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, what should I say your name is? When I go to the people and I say the redemption's at hand, so what should I say your name is? So Hashem says, Ekaya, Aleph, then Hey, then Yud, then Hey. I'm not going to say Shem Hashem. Okay. Ekaya, Asher, Ekaya. I will be like I will be. Rashi says there that Hashem was saying, just like I'm with them in this galus, I'll be with them in a future galus. I'm with them now. Asher, that I will be with them in future galus. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem, it's not enough what they're dealing with now. I should tell them there's going to be a future galus. They can barely get through this one. I should come and say, oh, God's redeeming you. But then, by the next galus, he's also going to be with you. So Hashem said, you're right. Don't say that name. That's Ekaya Asher. Ekaya, just say Ekaya Asher. You just one. I'm with you in this galus. So going back to, that's not what Rabbi Leuchter quotes Rashi, but I'm adding it on because he says Ekaya Asher. Now, Klal Yisrael are in the darkest moment of the Egyptian exile, at the threshold of the 50th gate of impurity. They're about to be totally lost due to Tumah, impurity. But so, what was the message that Hashem was giving Moshe? I'll be with them now and I'm with them in the future. Quote, something will emerge from that darkness. So one anchor is somehow to remember. Something will sprout from that lifeless mire. Mire, M-I-R-E, to be mired, yeah? Something will sprout. A future for the Jewish people seems an impossible dream at that time when they're facing such persecution. But the one who created the world from nothing can forge a nation from a bunch of spiritually poisoned slaves. They weren't on such a heilig level at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. They were the Chazal. The elders in Egypt had to tell them in Parshas Bo before they took the Korban Pesach, Mishchu Kuchu Lechamtzon, the elders told them, draw your hands away from Avodah Zarah so that you could do the Korban Pesach. And by Yam Suf, the angel said, why are you saving them? Those ones worship idols and these ones worship idols. So we know they weren't on such a high level. So what's the lesson of Ekayah, I will be with them now, Asher Ekayah, I will be with them in the future? Is there even going to be a Klai Yisrael in the future? If they're on such a low Madriga, different take than Rashi, if they're such a low Madriga, what's going to be with them in the future? They're going to dissipate. They're going to disappear. No. The one who created the world from nothing can forge a nation from a bunch of spiritually poisoned slaves. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message to the world and most of all to us. Klal Yisrael, Hashem is with us and he can make something grow even from the darkest place. What I thought was so interesting, of course, I told you when I was re-preparing for this year, this paragraph, which I didn't realize the first time I prepared for last week's year, is that it totally relates to Hanukkah. Listen again. Quote, Klal Yisrael, and this is not a Hanukkah piece, Klal Yisrael, and quote, the darkest moment of exile, at the threshold of the 50th gate of impurity. By the time of Hanukkah miracle, there were many Misyavnim, there were many Hellenists who adopted the ways of the Greek culture. They too were at the 50th gate, so to speak, of Tumah, and it was a very dark time. It's not an accident that we celebrate Hanukkah when it is the darkest time of the year. So what is the lesson that he writes and the lesson that we can relate to Hanukkah? What does Hanukkah teach us? Something will sprout from that lifeless mire when the days are so short, the sunlight is so short. That's when we have Hanukkah. And the nights are so long. And it seems like all hope is lost. And nothing could possibly grow spiritually from this. The message is something will sprout from that lifeless mire. There will be a future for the Jewish people, even if it seems like an impossible dream. But the Holy One who created the world from nothing, if Hashem could create this world, Yesh Me'ayin, then certainly he can forge a nation from a bunch of spiritually poisoned slaves. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message. Hashem is with us, and he will make something grow even from the darkest place. So of course, my mind went to Hanukkah. And what does the Gemara tell us? Sunday night is the first Hanukkah Lecht, Chav Hei Kislev. So the Gemara tells us, Imasecha Shabbos, Chav Aleph Amad Beis, Ma'i Hanukkah. What is Hanukkah? Dutanu Rabbah, Rabbanan, Bekaf Hei Bekislev, Yomei DeChanukah, on the 25th of Kislev, we begin the Yom Tov of Chanukah. On Chanukah, says the Gemara, we don't give Hespedim and we don't fast. So even though it's a almost like a quasi-antiv, I mean, it's not a mitzvah de'oraisa, you're not going to find the mitzvah of Chanukah in the Torah, it's a mitzvah de'Rabbanan, but they gave it the status of a Yom Tov, and the halacha is that you're not allowed to give a Hesped and you're not allowed to fast. That would be a sign of a Velus, and these are considered Yamim Tovim, good days of rejoicing. And now the Gemara tells us the story about Chanukah. Kishenichnesu Yevanim leHeichal, and the Yevanim entered into the sanctuary. Timu Kal Shmanim, they defiled all the oils. So this is the narrative fact, and of course it's also a spiritual metaphor for the state of Kal Yisrael at the time. Timu Kal Hashmanim, they defiled all the oils. Shebeheichal, that were in the sanctuary. Kishagavra Malchus Beis Chashmonai, and then the house of the Chashmonaim were victorious. Right, the family of Kohanim was the family of Chashmonaim. The Natzchum, and they won the war. Bad kuvelo matzu ala pach echad shel shem, and they checked and they only found one small flask of oil. Shahayamunach b'chos moshal kohen gadol, so they're looking and it's total darkness, and it seems like Knesset Yisrael is about to be thrown off course, and the whole place was ritually defiled and spiritually defiled, and the nation started to throw off the Olmach u'shamayim. No Shabbos, okay, let's go along with them, said the Misyanim. No Rosh Chodesh, perfect, said the Hellenist. No Bris Milah, you show me the way, said the Hellenist. And the Makkabim, the Chashmonaim, came and they fought back, and they only found one pach shel shemen that was with the seal of the high priest, and there was only enough oil for one night. Nasa bonis, a miracle was done. This is Lashon of the Gemara, Shabbos Chaf Aleph Beis, v'hidliku mimenu shmona yamim, and it lasted for 8 days. Did I say this in this shir already? That Chanukah, you have to remind me, because I know I said a couple of shirim, because I was so taken when I heard it by Rabbi Surya Malitsky, and I don't remember where I shared it. That Chanukah is to ignite the soul. That even if it seems so dark, like Rabbi Reuven Leuchter is writing, if a person is in a very dark place, from a Nisayon, in a dark place spiritually, if our nation is in a dark place, so it seems like all hope is lost. So a person has to know for themselves and for those around them and for Am Yisrael, all hope is never lost. Did I say this here? The Rabbi Surya Malitsky said, Chanukah is to ignite the soul. And when you look at the word nefesh, which is soul, it's an acronym. Does anyone know if I said this here? You don't think so? You don't remember? Okay, so then I'm for sure going to say it again. Joanna's saying no. Joanna's usually pretty good. Joanna didn't come in person because she said there was a lot of traffic. Joanna comes from very far, so she let me know that she's coming only on Zoom. Welcome. So Joanna says, I didn't say it here. Ready? So Rabbi Surya Malitsky said, I don't remember who he was quoting. It may have been the Sfas Emes, but that part don't quote. Nefesh is the soul. Nefesh is ignited by the Chanukah Licht, which represents that no matter how dark a person finds himself, in the deepest darkness of life, or in the deepest darkness of Ruchnius, the soul can always be ignited. And Nefesh stands for Ner, Pisil, and Shemen. I think he was quoting this fast times, but I don't quote that. But this is definitely not my insight. This is from Rabbi Surya Malitsky. It was last year or 2 years ago, Chanukah shir that I listened to on Mayu Torah. So nefesh, which is the stool, is ner, candle. Pisil is the wick. And shemen is the oil. Here, so I don't forget. Thank you. It was amazing. So I don't forget. Thank you so much. I didn't fold any pages. Even though I always fold pages when I read, my kids don't like it. Mommy, why do you fold all the pages? That wasn't my book. I used the sticky. I saw someone fold the pages, but it wasn't me. It was not me. Okay? So Chanukah ignites the soul. So again, nefesh stands for ner, the lamp, the candle, the light, pisil, the wick, and shemen, the oil. And I was thinking to myself something more than that, because really we call the human soul not a nefesh, but a neshama. Even animals have a nefesh. Everyone has a nefesh, but human beings of the Hashem have more than just a nefesh. We have a neshama. Okay? Nefesh, chaya, ruach, nefesh, neshama, chaya, ruach, yechida. Nefesh, neshama, chaya, ruach, yechida. There's different names for the soul. Neshama is higher than nefesh. So I was thinking, based on Rabbi Surya Malitsky said about nefesh being ner, pasil, shaman, you could say the same thing about neshama. Ner, shaman, and menorah, Hashem. Okay? So my liberty to say that is because Rabbi Mielitzki quoted this word about nefesh being an acronym tied into Hanukkah. So you could say the same thing about neshama, which is a higher degree of soul than nefesh. The nun stands for ner, the lamp or the candle. The shin stands for shamen, the oil. And mem and hay stands for menorah Hashem. So you see that even when things are very, very dark, whether in yourself as a person or somebody around you, or in this galus in which we live, there's always the hope for the soul to be ignited. Going back to, so Joanna, did I say that here? No. Okay, fine. So going back to the Gemara. Okay, so lo matu ala pach echad shal shaman. Shaman, they only found, by the way, shaman is also from the word, letters neshama. It's nun mem shin, without the hey at the end, right? Okay. So they found one little flask of oil with the seal of the high priest, and there was only enough to light for one day. A great miracle was done. They lit it for 8 days. L'shana acharas, the next year, kavum v'asum yamim tovim b'hala v'hoda'a. The next year, the sages established, that it would be a great a Yom Tov with halal, praise, and hoda'ah, thanks. Why did they wait till the next year to establish the festival? Why not just say, you know, there was a miracle, so establish the festival. Why are you waiting until the next year? So Rav Salavechik says, why? Because when is a miracle a great event? There was an ace, Nasa Bonis, V'iliku mimenesh monos yamim. A great miracle was done, and it burned for 8 days. When is a miracle a great event? What?
When it's mifursam.
I can't hear.
When it's mifursam, when you know about it.
When it's before.
No, mifursam.
Mifursam, mifursam. Okay. When else is a miracle a great event? What makes a miracle great?
Everybody hears about it. Everybody knows about it.
Okay, so that's mifursam, yeah?
Maybe when it inspires people to be better.
A miracle is a great event, exactly, if it changes people. If people are moved by what they have just witnessed. If people undertake some change and they're inspired. Because Hashem, miracle and Teva, it's all the same. Nature is the same as miracle. Miracle is the same as Teva. A miracle becomes a great event if people are changed by the event, if they're affected by the event. At the end of the story, Bilam, right at the end, it says that in the Perek Chavkim, I think about Midbar, it says, V'yashu Bilam Mekomo. Bilam went back to being exactly who he was. The donkey spoke to him. He witnessed a great event. He went back to being the exact same person. Sometimes we witness a great event. We're inspired by a wonderful shir. Something amazing happened. And then you just go, but you say it was great. Wow. You go back to being the exact same person you were. A miracle is only a great event if it inspires in yours, if it changes, if it affects change. So Rav Salavechik says, L'shana acheres, they waited to see if the change would be everlasting, if the people would be inspired, if everyone back to being the same, then it's not a great event. Because Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't measure miracles any greater than Nisim. To him, it's all the same. I mean, miracles any greater than Teva, nature. So L'shana acheres kavim v'asum yamim tovim b'hala v'hoda'ah. And really, Rabbi Reuven Neuchter, this last paragraph that we just read, a person has to remember, something will emerge from the darkness. You might not be able to see it. You might have no way of knowing what will emerge from the darkness, but something will emerge from the darkness. Hashem can forge a nation from a bunch of spiritually poisoned slaves. Hashem is with us, and he will make something grow even from the darkest place. Secondly, Parshas Bahar. He goes to Parshas Bahar, the end of Sefer Vayikra. The Torah talks about a person who's a veros, whose sins have brought him to lose all of his possessions, to the point where he has to sell himself as a slave to idol worship. It's right then in Parshas Bahar. There's a progression of things that will happen to this person who sins, and ultimately he's going to sell himself as a slave to the Umos Olam, not only to another Jew, but he's going to ultimately end up being a slave for an idol worshiper. But the Torah tells him that this person must still keep Shabbos and refrain from Avodah Zarah, idol worship. Even though he's being sold to someone who's an idol worshiper, he has to keep Shabbos. He's a Jew. And he can't do Avodah Zarah, idol worship. Everyone knows desecrating Shabbos and Avodah Zarah are forbidden. So why does the Torah have to remind this person, like, you're a Jew, everyone's a Jew. So why does he need a special mitzvah? You have to keep Shabbos. Everyone has to keep Shabbos. Achar Sema Shabbos Kachor. Remember the Sabbath day to keep holy. No one's allowed to do Avodah Zarah. So why does this guy need a special command to keep Shabbos and do Avodah Zarah? You're still a Jew. Why is he different? The Torah is a personal message for him. I'm going to say it in my own words first. Sometimes when a person falls so low, they feel like Hashem doesn't want anything from them anymore. Hashem doesn't want any avoda from them anymore because it's just not working, so you give up everything. You feel like it's either all or nothing. And if I'm not doing that, I'm not going to do this either. The Torah says you may have fallen to a pitiful state, but you're still a person. You had to sell yourself into slavery. You don't have any possession because of your sins to pay back, but you're still a person. Here's the message. You still have control over something in your life, and you find yourself in the midst of that storm on the raging sea, and you're looking for an anchor. You have to remember you still have control over something in life. Not over your circumstances. Clearly, most of the time, we do not have control over our circumstances. But we have control over who you are and what you will become. That is in your control. You may not be able to keep the whole Shulchan Aruch at this time. You sinned, you had to sell yourself, you're working for an idol worshiper. But you too have a place in Torah to exercise your free will. And this is a major, I believe, anchor. You cannot control your circumstances. However, you can hold yourself in place by reminding yourself you control who you are and what you will become. Why are you looking confused?
Because you're saying he was sold as a slave.
That what?
That's no will.
Say it again.
You just said he's sold as a slave. Okay?
Talk about it reminds us of Yosef.
It's his owner who tells him what to do. You know, he relinquished that.
That's why you don't have control over your circumstances. That's exactly right.
You just finished saying, but you still have control of who you are.
Over who you are and why you, as a person.
Not really. You become like a slave. A slave is really...
No. Look at the Jews in the Holocaust. Read that book, The Least Promise.
I don't have to read the book. I'm living it. Yes, I know.
So you're negating your own point.
No, it's not
true. A person can find themselves in circumstances, but they cannot control, but still attain and retain a measure of spiritual and emotional freedom.
You can't. But he was saying he should keep kashrus. He should keep Shabbos.
No, I didn't say kashrus. I said Shabbos and refrain from avodah zarah. Okay, so you can ask me questions halacha l'maisa, how
right,
that plays out, because I'm not a rav.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not a rav, but you yourself, you just agreed, because it when you read the Holocaust biographies.
Right, no, I understand. I do.
Right. Read that Lily's Promise. One second, Shabbat. Read that Lily's Promise.
Right.
They were in the worst slavery that a person could not even, I can't even say that we could imagine, that we could not even imagine.
You have your thoughts. You always know who you are. You have to do what they tell you to do.
But inside, the only thing you have control over is you, who you remain inside.
Okay.
Yes.
That book that Viktor Frankl wrote, like
I can hear.
Man's Search for Meaning.
Yes.
It's also, he in the Holocaust, but he talks about that the only meaning you have is your reaction. You do have a choice in how.
You react to your circumstances.
You are, despite being a slave and having no choice of your actions.
Right, you have no choice.
Right, it's by your essence.
It's,
I guess that's
exactly
what he's talking
you
about.
You can't take your mind away from you. If that's you, that is how you react. How you, that's what I said. That was the only thing we held down to. There was nothing else.
Right.
Yeah. Rebuild it was her.
Okay. So I think we're all agreeing.
Yeah.
1 second. Yeah, Joanna, a miracle becomes a great event when that miracle changes you not only a year later, forever. Think of something in your life that you've witnessed or that you've experienced, which was some sort of, I don't want to say totally a malamun ateva, but what made a great event is when you're changed by the great event, not when you remain stagnant. Right, so Nancy said, welcome to my life, 2 exclamation marks. About Nancy, your friends are smiling with you. That we can't control the external, but the only thing we could control is who you are and what you will become. And that's, I think we're now agreeing, and I don't think it's a kasha. Nancy writes, we have to react to our circumstances and do the best with the tools we have at hand. going back to Rabbi Reuven Leuchter, you may not be able to keep the whole Shulchan Aruch, you tell this slave, but you have a place in Torah, and you can still exercise your free will. Like in the book, Lily's Promise, it was just incredible. She was working in the munitions factory at one point and making bullets. And so every bullet had to be put into a case to make sure it was smooth. And any bullet that was not smooth was discarded. So the Germans, when they came to shoot, all the bullets would be smooth. So she said sometimes when nobody was looking, at great risk, obviously, to her own life, she would take a finished tray of all the smooth bullets, and she would quickly, as best as she could, change a couple of smooth bullets for the defective bullets that didn't fit. And she said, did my changing 2-3 bullets really make a difference to the war effort? But she said, I imagined in my head that German trying to shoot his gun and the bullet not coming out, and maybe somewhere somebody's life was saved. So you definitely can change the whole circumstances of your life. Those are the most extreme examples, though, Elenu. But I think that we all know from our lives that you cannot change the external circumstances of your life. So what's the anchor for my life? I have control over who I am and what I will become. Keeping these two mitzvahs, he's referring to the slave, will preserve your spiritual standing and keep hope for a better future alive. It's not only who you are now, but it's telling you that there is hope for a better future. It might seem like you've lost everything and all you can do is mourn, but you too have an area of avoda. Your avoda is to maintain human dignity and your impact on the future. And I thought this also relates so strongly to Chanukah. L'shana acheres kavum v'asum yomim tovim b'hala v'hoda. That's Lashon, Masechta Shabbos Chof Al Beis. L'shana acheres, the next year. That also symbolizes, based on this piece, hope for the future. There will be a Knesset Yisrael l'shana acheres. There will be people observing this Yom Tov l'shana acheres. There will be people saying hala and hoda on this Yom Tov in the future. So it symbolizes hope for the future. That's your human dignity. That's your impact on the future. Your present may be bleak, but even in this grim reality, you have the ability to work to build a better future. These two lessons together are the Torah's anchor. Number one, remember there's a future. It may not be exactly what you dreamed. You know, there's a famous story that's told over. They tell it over in regard to parents of special needs children, that the lady thought she was going to France, so she learns the language of France, and she plans tours for France, and she packs for France, she finds the restaurants in France, then she boards the boat, and she's all ready for France, and she gets off, and they're not speaking French, and it's not French restaurant. She says, where am I? And they say, you're in Holland. And she says, Holland, I planned for France. And she comes to learn that Holland might not be France, but it could still be beautiful. There are beautiful things here as well. So Abigail and Esther are saying yes, that they're familiar with it. Others, I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Welcome to Holland, Leo Zalek says, right. That's so interesting. Someone said her mother, Shatiche, was in Auschwitz and told us they did everything they could to make sure the bullets were defective. So number one, remember there's a future. It may not be exactly what you dreamed, but the present, no matter how dismal, will somehow bear fruit. Number two, even in your present situation, you have the ability to build the future. You are an active player in the game of life. As long as you're alive, you still have a choice to be an active player in the game of life or not. And this also relates to Chanukah. How so? The first point about the darkness relates to Chanukah. The second point about the future, Bashana Acheres, relates to Chanukah. And this point also relates to Chanukah. You still have an active player in the game of life. How does this point relate to Chanukah and the Gemara that I'm tying into Shir tonight? Because Matsu Lo Matsu Alapach Achad Shal Shemen Shayimunach Bechos Moshal Kohen Gadol. They found one little flask or jug, whatever it was exactly, with the seal of the high priest. That alone was kosher. There was only enough oil for one night. So some explain that the nace of Chanukah was that they lit it all. That they put in their effort. What could they have said? What is the point of lighting menorah? This is so dismal. We need pure olive oil for every night of the year. It wasn't like us, we light for 8 nights of the year. They lit menorah every single night of the year. And the Beis HaMikdash, they, the Kohen, lit the menorah with a chatzi log of shaman every night of the year. So what could they have said when they found one flask? Well, the place was totally defiled. The menorah was gone. They used a tin menorah, in fact. That's much less well known than the miracle of oil. Avodah Zarah had been brought and the whole place was schmutzfeld. And the battle continued even after Hanukkah. It wasn't restored immediately to a time of tranquility. There were still wars and they were fighting the Hellenists as well. So what could they have said? What's the point? What's one little pach shemen? What's that going to give me? I need so much oil. I have one little flask. I'm not going to bother. Quote, even in your present situation, you have the ability to work to build the future. You're still an active player in the game of life. You, like Nancy said, you do the best you can with the tools we have at hand. So the only tool they had at hand in the middle of that crisis is a total spiritual crisis for the nation. The only tool they had at hand was one flask of oil, one jug. So they could have said, we're going to not bother doing anything. Or they could have said, we can't control the external circumstances, but we can control what we do and the effort we put in. And they are an active player in the game of life, v'hiliku mimenu. And they went to light it. They knew they didn't have enough for tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and they would need to wait a week to two until they had a new supply of shaman zayisach, so why light it at all? This represents all three aspects of what Rabbi Leuchter is talking about. One, light from darkness. Two, hope for the future. And three, be an active player in shaping your own future as much as you can. An anchor, continuing with the article, so I really, you know, when I was re-preparing, it struck me how much this is related to Hanukkah. An anchor is not a solution to the problem because there's still a storm, but it saves you from being dragged out to sea. So what will prevent you from being asked, how are you doing? Yeah. Yeah? You're with me?
Yeah.
Okay, it's heavy duty, these two classes. What grade are you in?
Ninth.
Okay. It's heavy for someone in ninth grade. It's heavy for grown-ups also. It's really heavy for someone in ninth grade. An anchor isn't a solution to the problem. There's still a storm, but it saves you from being dragged out to sea. The anchor does not take away the painful reality, but it preserves your humanity. The anchor, what's the anchor? Light, finding the light in darkness. Two, there's a future. As long as you're alive, there's a future. There is a future. And three, I can't control all the externals, but the only thing I can control is, quote, who you are and what you will become. The anchor doesn't take away the painful reality, but it preserves your humanity. You're still a person. Even in your situation, you have an area of avodah to deal with in the present while looking for a brighter future. All of these three things relate to Chanukah and the Gemara and Shabbos Chaf Alf Beis. Lighting the menorah is light in darkness. Lashana Acheras represents hope for the future. And finally, you're still a person and you have an area of avodah is v'hidliku mimenu. Otherwise, they would just not have lit at all. The whole place was defiled. It's in shambles. What is the point of lighting one flask of oil? But they did it. That's what they could control. When you have an area of avodah, as long as you have an area of avodah, life is never over. There's always something to build. You can lay a cobblestone in the road to a better future. The problem might remain forever. So this is not invalidating the problem. It's not saying it doesn't exist. It's not saying you're not having a painful nisayon. It's not saying, cheer up, someone has it worse. Why does it help me? Someone left me a message that they tried to comfort somebody going through a difficult time, and the person said, why does it help me that somebody has it worse? The problem might remain forever, but life goes on. My friend who lost his wife felt that his family was destroyed. Family to him meant being together with his wife and children, so that when it became impossible, the only possible reaction was to grieve. But with help, he began to see family as a place for chinuch, an environment for growth. He discovered a new avoda, and Risa Rahman writes this on the end of her book. After her husband, Chaim Howie Rahman, Zichron al Bracha, Hashem Yikom Dama, passed away, she said her life was thrown off course. I'm paraphrasing. Now she wasn't going to the hospital every day. Now she wasn't involved with Chaim's care every day. What would her new avoda be? So this person discovered a new area of chinuch. He had to teach his children something else, how to deal with the absence of their mother, Rahman al Atzlan. He had to teach his children how to act with good midos, even when they felt like they were wallowing in self-pity. That's also an area of avoda. That's also an area of chinuch. And this also relates to Chanukah, because Rita Moskowitz, you know her?
Yes.
She taught me a few years ago something that made a big impression on me. Chanukah is milashon chinuch. So we know Chanukah is chanuch of hay. They rest on the 25th. Chanukah is ches neiros v'alacha k'beis hillel. Chanukah is also, it's the same exact shorash, ches nun chaf. Chinuch is ender chaf, but it's the same shorash. Chanukah is milashon chinuch. And that always just stuck in my head. And I thought that was very beautiful. So Rabbi Reuven Neuchter says here that there's a new avoda, and that is chinuch as well. Discovering your avoda gives meaning to life, even if it's not the avoda you planned, even if you're in Holland and you thought you're going somewhere else, even if you feel like you're on the wrong track. But in that track, you have an avoda. In that track, there's a chinuch to do, whether it's for yourself, by the way, to be mechanich yourself, or to influence and be mechanich others. And it showed him the promise of a future. Listen, I thought I was going to be an audiologist. I did. I thought I was going to be an audiologist. My bachelor's is in speech and hearing from Brooklyn College. It was an excellent program. My master's of science is in audiology. I put all those years and time and tuition, okay, it was Brooklyn College, but still, before that I went to York University in Toronto for a year. That's what I thought I was going to do. And sometimes your life takes a different course. So now you say, what's my voda in this new area? What do I do now? It might not be what you planned, but discovering your new avoda gives meaning to life. It might not be the happiest meaning to life in this person's case, but it gives meaning to know you still have a tafkid. And it shows you the promise of a future. So light from dark, Chanukah. Hope for the future, kavum va'asum b'lashana acheras. Taking responsibility for what you can control, v'hidliku mimenu. Instead of saying we're not going to light, they lit. And finally, the finding the area of chinuch that this new reality teaches you, whether it's mechanech yourself, or being influenced by mechanech others. Chanukah is milashon chinuch. The first time I prepared this totally did not strike me as being Chanukah related at all. In fact, it wasn't even planned. So all my notes in the second half of the article are all the re-preparation, because with Chanukah on my mind, I realized, whoa, this is really relevant to this upcoming Yom Tov. And maybe that's one of the major lessons of Chanukah. It's an anchor for our people to know we're never going to be washed away. We're on a very low level. On the Misyavnim and the Syrian Greeks were very strong, but we will never be washed away when you keep these nekudos in mind. People in the middle of a storm often can't see their area of avoda. That's one thing. You have to try and identify what's my area. The fury of the storm blinds them. Oh gosh, it's 9:13, Hashem. I heard such a tremendous word last week. Okay, this show is going to go a couple minutes over. If you have to leave, I understand. Listen to that. And I try usually to not. Someone asked me a little while ago, how do you always make it end exactly 9:15? But I just want to finish this. Ready for this unbelievable part? You know Rabbi Ali Portal from Haftar? So he reached out to me as a podcast. Is anyone aware that he has a podcast called Rolling with the Punches? So he interviews different people who have different disabilities on his podcast. So he reached out to me about interviewing me. So first I asked my kids what they thought, and then I asked my Das Torah, and everybody said it's Toh Alice, and you should do it. So I never listened to any of his podcasts before, so I just wanted to have an idea of what it was, because when I go for my ox, I always listen to Shir, I'm not podcasts. Not that there's anything wrong with them, I'm just saying I don't, my time's limited, so. So I listened to a couple of passages from a number of different episodes, just to see what this was about. I'll keep you posted when it comes out if you want to know more about Michal Arts' personal life. So, he said one of the most geschmack words A pasuk says in Parashas Kisavo, famous pasuk, in Kisavo it says about the klalos, tach asa shalo avadata asa shem elkecha besimcha betuv lev of mirovka. The klalos come because you did not serve God with simcha, happiness, with tuv levav and goodness of heart, mirovka, when you had everything. So there's a lot of ways to explain that. He quoted a verse from the Novominsker, Rav Zatzal. When you see a person who's suffering, who's not besimcha, and who's not serving Hashem b'tuv levav, don't be so quick to judge them. There's always an underlying reason as to why they're behaving like that. Tachas. Look for the underlying reason. Wow. And I called the Rashai Shechter to ask him if I should do this podcast. First of all, he told me Rabbi Eli Portal Zatzadik. That's a quote. He said, Eli Portal Zatzadik. And he said, I should do it. He said, it's for To'alas. It could be Mechazik people. So I told him Svar. I said, did you ever hear Svar? He said, no, I was so taken by it. He says in Novominsker, Tachas, look for the underlying reason. Asher lo avadatos Hashem elokecha besimcha, that they cannot serve Hashem besimcha, ubatuv levav, and goodness of heart. You think it's rov kol. You think everything's so wonderful in their life. Don't be so fast to judge them. Find the tachas. Then you will identify. Everyone wants to be besimcha. Everyone wants to serve Hashem with gladness of heart. There are so many nisyonos in life that almost throw them off course. There are so many raging storms over their ship. Don't be so fast to blame them. Find the tachas. If you remember nothing else from the shir, even though I shouldn't really say that because we learned a lot, it's so geschmack. It's just so tremendous. There's a tachas. There's an underlying reason that's preventing them in this moment from reaching their fullest potential to ivdu es Hashem besimcha. When you find that tachas, you will have better tools to help them. It's just geschmack. Okay, I'll let you know when the podcast comes out. I don't know. You just sent me the interview questions today, but I can't deal with this right now. I'm going away tomorrow, so Be'ezrat Hashem next week. People in the middle of a storm often can't see their area of avoda. The fury of the storm blinds them. I know, two more minutes. That's when they need our help. You might not be in the storm, and you might be able to help them search for their current avoda. But remember, identify the tachas. Am I bichinuch? Am I bichasad? Everyone, no matter their situation, has an avoda to deal with the present and build the future. There's no such thing. There's no. If you're alive, you have an avoda. It might not be the avoda you thought. You thought you might be an audiologist, and then holy cow, you're not an audiologist. You thought you might do this, and you're not this. You thought that might be your avoda, and this is your avoda. But if you're alive, you have an avoda. They might need our help to see beyond the confines of their pain and find a avoda that fits their situation, as opposed to invalidating the pain or invalidating the sign. How can this be used for the better? Or they might be in a place where they don't even want to hear about their avoda. They might only want to hear, I'm going to daven for you. If we really want to help others, let's not take the easy way out. By the way, I think this should also say if you really want to help yourself, don't take the easy way out. Distracting oneself from the storm is not going to help. That's saying it's invalidating, and eventually it's going to come crashing down upon you if you say it's not here. Let's take the time to help see the area of avoda and put ourselves back at the helm of the ship. That's the path to reach a better future, Lashana Acharas, without bypassing the present. That's the Torah's anchor, and that's the way to help a struggling sailor weather the storm. So Your Ribbono Shel Olam should give us all the koach to weather our own storms, and those be mechazik those around us. Really relates very much to Chanukah. I wish you not only a wonderful Shabbos, but a meaningful lichtig of Chanukah. We hope and pray that the neshama of Miriam Frohl, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah Hashem, Eretz and Aliyah, and the schus of this Torah that we shared. And I thank you so much. I wish everybody lichtig of Chanukah. Good night. Those on Zoom and those in person. Thank you so much. Kol tov.
Great being here in person.